Love check. Sometimes you need to do a fuel check on your car, don't you? We found that to be true a number of times. My family was just at the beach a little while ago, and a number of times Allison tells me that when that fuel gauge in our van gets down even to a quarter of a tank, she says that it's just going to drop after that. I don't know what it is with it. So we've got to keep a watch on that gauge. And oftentimes, you need to do that in your car, don't you? Oftentimes, you need to do a fuel check. You need to glance down and see where you are. Because that fuel, that gas, is essential to the operation of that vehicle. You're not going to get too far if you're not doing a fuel check every once in a while, and you run out of gas. Well, sometimes you need to do a toothpick check when you're cooking brownies. One time, Allison was leaving the house, and she had me watch the brownies or take them out when they're done. How do I know when they're done? And she was telling me about, well, you get a toothpick, and you do a toothpick check, and you take those brownies out at the right time. I've got the timer set, and when it goes off, you take them out, and you get a toothpick, and you stick it in there. And then when you pull it out, if it's got all this goo on it, it's not done yet. If you pull it out and it's dry, you're in good shape. Well, when you're cooking brownies, sometimes you need to do a toothpick check, because the heat of that oven is very essential, very important to cooking those brownies, and you need just the right amount. Too much and they'll be too dry, and too little and you got some goo there when you bite into it. Well, you know what's important in the Christian life? It's love. That's the essential, important ingredient in the Christian life. And so in the Christian life, if you're a believer in Christ, oftentimes we need to do a love check. That's the main thing that a Christian needs, is love. How important is love in the Christian life? It's what it's all about. There's different types of love that God tells us about in Scripture. And in the Greek, there's the Greek word eros. And this is the erotic kind of love between a husband and a wife. And then there's phileo type of love. And this is a brotherly love that people have. And then there's another kind of biblical love, and that's agape love. And that's God's love. That's the kind of love that can only come from God. That's the kind of love that it's not earned. You don't earn it. Nobody earns it. It's not deserved. You don't deserve it. But it's just a free gift. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter the recipient. You, when you receive God's agape love, it doesn't matter anything about you. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how bad you mess up. It doesn't have any effect. You don't have an effect on it. It's a love straight from God to you, no matter what. No matter what you do, say, or think. And that's only God has that kind of love. That's a love from Him. It's that love that manifests itself in His grace. And a great definition of grace is God's grace is His free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that He just pours out upon you, just like a waterfall, just continually pouring it on you. Not mattering what you do, say, or think. He just pours it out. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, and you can't. But He just continually gives you His love and His favor for free. For free. Unconditional. That's God's kind of love. And that's agape love. And we can express that kind of love only as a Christian, only when we turn to God. Only when we realize our sinfulness and our need of a Savior because of our sinfulness, and we turn to Jesus, and we repent, we turn from ourselves, and we turn to God, we turn to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying for my sins and being raised from the dead. And Lord, I turn to you. I ask you to save me from these sins. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. Help me to follow you. And if that's our heart's cry, we turn to the Lord. Oh, God says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so when you cry out with that type of prayer to God and you believe, you repent, you put your faith in Him, then He comes to live on the inside of you, the Bible tells us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He comes and He dwells in you and He lives in you and He's with you and you're never, ever, ever, ever alone again. He'll always be with you. Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And so you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And God tells you that. And then we can express that kind of love. Once we've got Him, once we're saved, once He's in our lives, then He can work in us and through us, and we can actually express that agape love. It's not from us. He's in us. He's with us, and He's doing it through us. Well, let's look at it. Let's do a love check this morning, since that is the essential of the Christian life. And let's see how it's the essential. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. And I want to read the passage that I talked about a little bit earlier when Jesus was asked about what's the greatest commandment, teacher? So turn to Matthew chapter 22 if you have a Bible with you. There should be one right near you in the pew rack if you need one. Matthew chapter 22. God tells us this, starting in verse 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Love is essential to the Christian life. We see here that it's God's greatest commandment. The greatest commandment of God for you and for me is love. To love Him with all that you are, and then to love people, to love others, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this agape kind of love, don't mix up love with feelings. This agape type of love is an act of the will. This love can be chosen, and it can be commanded as a duty. When God commands you, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a command. It's a duty. God's saying, do this. Here's my greatest commandment. And it doesn't have to involve emotions. That kind of trips us up. We so often, the world's way is to just think of love as emotional. Oh, I feel so in love, and you know, I'm in love with this person or whatever. But no, that's not true. Love is an act of the will. You can choose to love. You can love your enemy. You don't feel all lovey-dovey towards your enemy, do you? No, but God says, love your enemies. How do you do that? It's an act of the will. You can choose to love. What do you do in a relationship? Maybe you're in a marriage and you're not feeling the love that you used to feel or whatever. And so Satan can creep in and he can start to give you doubts and say, oh, you know, you married the wrong person. This is the wrong one or whatever. No, that's a lie from the devil. If you're married, God brought the two together. God says, what God has joined together, let man not separate. And so God joins you together, and you might not have loving feelings all the time to a person in a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe it's with an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's with a neighbor. I don't know who it is for you, but you might not have loving feelings. But does that stop God's command, His call? No. He says, love me with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so you can choose. It's an act of the will. And you know what? Many times, what I've discovered is those feelings will follow later. If we'll obey God and we'll choose to love, and whether we feel it or not, but we choose to act in love and we choose to love that person and make those decisions of love, many times the feeling will come after. Sometimes the feeling will come later. And you know, people are mirrors. Have you ever tried to just love your enemy? Have you ever tried to love somebody that's really got something against you? And you just keep on pouring on that agape love? You just keep on pouring it on? And pretty soon, it's pretty wild how God works. But all of a sudden, they start to change. They start to be loving towards you. That's how people are mirrors. They react with what they see many times. And so it's an act of the will. If you forget everything else in the Christian life, please remember love. God is all about love. It's His greatest commandment. And it's His nature. It's also His nature. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16b, it says, God is love. It's not only His greatest command, it's Him. It's who He is. It's His nature. God is love. It is essential. And so you and I need to do a love check. Let's see. How are you doing? How am I doing? Let's do a love check. Well, first of all, how are you doing loving God? How are you doing loving God? Well, this passage, Jesus says here, He includes your whole being, doesn't He? Jesus says, love, here's the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God, act of the will, love Him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That's your spirit, that's the core of who you are. It tells us in Proverbs that above all else, guard your heart. For it's the wellspring of life. That's the place where the decisions are made. That's the center place for the will. Your heart. Well, love God with all of your heart or your spirit. And love Him with all of your soul. All of your soul. Well, the soul is the seat of the emotions. So, yeah, let your emotions follow. Go ahead and love Him with your will, with your heart, and act it out and do what He tells you to do. And love Him, and choose to love Him. But then, also with your soul, Jesus included. So with your emotions, let them follow. Let your emotions come. And you know how you can feel love for God? You just need to get focused on how much He loves you. If you meditate on how much God loves you, if you search the Scriptures and you begin to understand and know how much God freely loves you and how you don't earn it and you don't deserve it, no matter what you do, He keeps on pouring all this infinite love on you. And when you see His blood on the cross and you see Him shedding all that and spilling His blood and dying for you on the cross and you realize that He did all that for you, when you begin to experience God's love and know His love, you'll start to feel it. You'll start to feel it back to Him. So get loved by Him, and that'll help those emotions come along. But Jesus said, love Him with your soul too. Love Him with your emotions. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your thinking. Jesus said, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Our every thought, Scripture tells us to keep our minds set on things above. Love Him with your mind. And God tells us whatever's true, whatever's right, whatever's noble, whatever's excellent, whatever's praiseworthy, and He mentions some other things. Think about such things. God wants us to keep our minds on those things, on Him, on His love. And then we can love Him with our mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then in some places, God tells us, and with all your strength, too. Love Him with all your strength. How do you do that? Well, that's in your actions. You love Him with your heart, soul, your mind. And then in your actions, everything you do, let it be an act of love to God. God, I'm doing this for You. Lord, I'm gonna help this older lady out of the car because I'm physically in my strength. I'm loving You, God. I'm doing this for You. Whatever it is. How are you doing? Loving God with your whole being. Are you in love with your Savior? Are you in love with Jesus? Are you head over heels in love with Him, with your God? You know, you spend time with what you love. You spend time taking care of it and nurturing it and enjoying it. Just think about it. Sometimes people love cars. Sometimes they love their car. What do? They spend a lot of time investing in it. And when at the beach yesterday, we saw this car, and man, this guy had to love his car. It was beautiful. It was this bright, shiny green. It had like two different tones. He had big old wheels on it. He had these shiny rims on it. No, it was purple. I'm sorry. Wasn't it, Christian? He had these big shiny rims on it, and they were spinner rims. Y'all ever seen those? But he drives, and then he stops, and the wheels keep going. Christian was like, "Whoa, what is that?" And John Allen was like, "Maybe we could get those on the church van." Wow. But man, those rims were shining. They were spinning. And I'm assuming he loved his car. I didn't talk to him or anything. But man, he spent some time on it and energy and effort. And you do that. You spend time with what you love. You spend time taking care of it and nurturing it. Think about it. Think about what you love. What do you love? Do you have a hobby? You spend time doing it, taking care of it, nurturing, putting some money into it. What do you love? Well, think about it with God. Think about it with God. You spend time with what you love, loving it, nurturing it, taking care of it, enjoying it. Are you doing this with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Check your love. Check your love. Am I spending time with Him in prayer? Am I spending time with Him in His Word? Am I saturating myself in His Word, in His Scripture? Am I sharing Him? You know, that's His will. He wants me to share Him with others. Am I doing that? Am I doing that? You know, a big way you can check yourself is Jesus gave us a test. He said, "If you love Me, you will obey My commands." And so if you really want to ask yourself if you love God or if you're doing well in this area of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, just answer that question. Are you obeying Jesus' commands? Are you obeying God's commands on a consistent basis? If you love Me, you will obey My commands. Well, that's the test. And so that's the way that we can love Him, is be obedient. Be obedient. Well, ask yourself this question. What changes do I need to make? Maybe God will bring something to your mind and you can go and do that. Well, secondly, doing this love check, not only do we need to do a love check and check on our loving God, but let's do a love check on loving others. How are you doing there? How am I doing there? Loving others. Jesus said the second is life. Love your neighbor as yourself. A great definition of love is a selfless concern for the welfare of others. I like that. Thank you. You might want to write that one down. I love that. I didn't make it up. I found it. A selfless concern for the welfare of others. Being selfless, forgetting about you, forgetting about yourself, just putting your focus and your attention on some others and a concern for them. A selfless concern for the welfare of others. Well, that's love. How are you doing in that area? Is my conversation... Here's another little test for you for how you're doing with loving others. Is my conversation, is it filled with I's, me's, and we's? Or is it filled with you's and yours? Think about it. That's a test. When you get in a conversation with somebody, when you meet somebody for the first time, or you're talking with some other people at the church, what does your conversation sound like? Me, I, we. Is it about you? Yeah. Or are you selfless? Is your conversation more about you and yours? Are you focused on them? Think about it. A little test we can do. Am I concerned about others? What about that stranger on the street? We might be good at loving the people at Highland Avenue or in our own family. Or we might need some work there. But what about the stranger on the street? How are you doing in that area? The stranger. What about the stranger who comes in for worship, comes here to worship? Listen to this. This is James chapter 2. I'm in James right now, reading the Bible through in a year. In James chapter 2, it says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit on the floor at my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him?" How are we doing with the stranger? How are you doing loving the stranger? When we were at the beach, we went to this restaurant called Fish Something. And I can't remember. But and we were just there. This is a few days ago. And we were eating that dinner. And you know, I remember leaving that restaurant and later thinking, "Lord, I'm sorry. I just didn't love on the waiter." I mean, I was just thinking about it as I left. You know, I didn't say much to him or anything. He just kind of spent all that time getting all our food, doing all these things. I mean, I was courteous, you know, thank you, thanks for the water, all this. I wasn't mean, rude, nothing like that. But my point is, in my conversation with the Lord was, "Lord, I wasn't just like focused on him, and I didn't ask him if he's got any family, or I didn't try to find out if he knows Jesus yet, or if he goes to a church anywhere. I really didn't talk to him very much." Yeah, I felt bad about that. That was a stranger. God says, did he say love on occasion or when you feel like it or when you get the chance? No, he said love your neighbor as yourself. But then on the flip side, a good thing did happen at the beach. Our drain was broken on our sink, and we had to call maintenance. Maintenance came in, and this guy came in, big guy with these tattoos, and he had this long, skinny ponytail. His hair was real short, but he had this long, skinny ponytail. And he came in, real nice guy. And, you know, I was ready to be outside, go swimming and stuff, just let him do this. But I was kind of hanging around there. And I felt the Lord just tugging on my heart, you know, "Hey, go talk to him. Go see what's going on in his life. Go talk to him." Well, I got to talking to him. Oh, man, he opened up. He shared things in his life with his ex-wife, all these things. And we talked about the Lord, and I got to share Jesus with him. And I left him with a pocket cross and then a track, gospel track. And shared the track with him, shared Jesus with him. And God's going to use that. God, the next day, you know, we saw each other. Hey, I was like, "Hey, Tom, you know, hey, you know." We were hitting it off good. And he said, "I got my cross in my pocket." And I was like, "Yeah, man, do it." But that's it. That's what we're supposed to be doing all the time. What about the strangers in your life? How are you doing loving others? What about the telemarketer that calls at dinner? How are you going to love them? Get creative. What about the person on the, importantly, what about the person on the other side of your dinner table? How are you doing with them? Those we're supposed to love the most. They're supposed to be feeling it the most. How are you doing? What about the person that cuts you off on the road? Woo! How are you doing there? God said, even your enemies. Love your enemies. Well, I love verse 40. Jesus makes it all so simple. He said, all of the law and the prophets hang on these two. You know, that's so simple. Just to live the Christian life, just love. Love God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the foundation for everything in the Christian life. Without heat, without that heat, you're not going to get good brownies. Without that gas in your car, you're not going anywhere. And without love, you can't live the Christian life. It's the same thing. And finally, not only do you need to check yourself, how am I doing loving God? How am I doing loving others? But how am I doing loving, period? How am I doing loving, period? I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, where God says, you know, you can do all these things in the name of Jesus. You could do all these prophecies, and you could teach. I'm paraphrasing. You can check out 1 Corinthians 13 yourself. Read it. But God says, you know, you can do these things, but if you don't have love, they're nothing. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, woo, that'd be a good faith. I could have a faith that moves mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. If I give my body to the flames, you could sacrifice your life. If I give my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. You see, love is the foundation. Without love, you could serve the Lord in countless incredible ways. But if love's not the foundation, if love's not the reason, it's nothing to God. It's meaningless. You're a gong, you're a clanging cymbal. So we need to do that love check, don't we? We need to do that love check. What needs to change? You know, the word repent means a deep change of mind. What do you need to change today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this love check. Lord, help us. Lord, search our hearts. Lord, please show each person here today, including myself. Lord, show us, how are we doing loving you with all that we are? What needs to change? Lord, how are we doing loving our neighbor as ourself, everybody around us, those closest to us and those furthest from us, and even our enemies? How are we doing loving, Lord? Help us. Show us what needs to change. And Lord, help us to just love, period. Let love be the foundation of everything, for you are love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you need to come to Jesus this morning. Maybe that's the biggest need in your life. Maybe you've understood how much God loves you, but you haven't responded to that love. Maybe you've realized that He died on the cross and He shed His blood. He paid for all your sins, but you haven't given Him your heart yet. You haven't stepped out on faith and saying, "Oh Lord, forgive me. I'm turning from myself. I'm turning to you right now, Jesus. I'm coming down that aisle and I'm giving you my heart, my life." If that's you this morning, you do it. Step out on faith. Do whatever He tells you to do. You won't regret it. And I'll be down in the front to receive you. Maybe you've realized this is my church. I need to join this church. You come and you make that decision. Maybe you just need to pray there at your seat. Maybe you need to deal with something with this love. Or maybe you have a different decision. Or you need somebody to pray for you. You can walk down and we'll pray for you.